morning's scripture is part of a much larger text that takes place at Pentecost celebration in Jerusalem, when the crowds are gathered there for their festival of weeks. And it's about 50 days after Passover, so about 7 weeks almost after Jesus' crucifixion. And on the day of Passover is when the Holy Spirit just was poured out upon the believers, and the disciples all began to preach in different languages. And Peter then spoke to the crowd and told Jesus' story to all those who were there, of who he was and what he taught and how he died for them and how that freed them from their sins they believe. And that day it said thousands joined the believers. The church was born. So thousands came together. And we pick up there in verse 42, which is on, will be on the screens. They, that's the thousands. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All believers were together, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Today happens to be my oldest son's birthday. He is 43 today. I was 12 when Joyce married me. She, of course, is much older, but I was young. But as we've been talking at home about this milestone, more in our lives than his, I think, we've been thinking about all the things that we remember from the past. You know, the things that are memories for you are often either things that were crises or what we thought would be crises, because they have etched so deeply into our psyche, or were milestones of success, from graduations to marriages to jobs to whatever it might be, or were moments when we actually experienced something really rare in the world, as we had times with friends, people's faces that come to mind and memories for us, and as we were trailing through Brad's timeline, a lot of the friends that we remember most dearly, his story is woven into those as well. And then I got to be, you know, then because of I can't keep focusing on one thing, I began to focus on other things too. I was thinking about all these things I was remembering. Then I thought about memory itself. You know, memory's a great thing. The older I get, the more fleeting it is, but it's a great thing. Now, you've heard the old joke, it's not a joke, it's true. I can now wrap my own Christmas presents and still be surprised on Christmas morning. And I meet new friends every day. But it's an amazing gift, this thing of memory. You know, it's a gift for our survival as well. Seriously, if you've ever touched a hot stove, you won't do it again, because you know what happens when you touch a hot stove. You remember with that. So I was thinking through some of these memories in my life, and it occurred to me that most of the memories that I have that are the fondest memories revolve around food. Now, lest you think I'm an epicure or a glutton, and by looking at me, you might come to that. It's not the food that really is important in the memory. It's just the food was often there in the memory. Those special memories are memories that have come because we've had gatherings of close, intimate friends, loved ones. And that often happens around the table. And in our lives, it was around the kitchen table or a fire pit, not so much the formal dining experience. And I have favorite memories of great Thanksgiving feasts, of course, and that was around a formal dining experience. But I remember going to Joyce's parents' house after church every Sunday for the best pan chicken dressing and angel drop biscuits before I knew anything about Red Lobster biscuits. I remember when we had almost nothing and we'd get together with friends and we'd pool our ingredients and make homemade pizzas and laugh and play until we couldn't hold our eyes open anymore. I'd remember cooking hot dogs on the grill because that's all we had was hot dogs. Eating off paper plates and having a side of generic brand potato chips. Anybody remember those things in your life?
Still do.
Still do. It's a circle, Paul. Comes back. And it wasn't the food that mattered, was it? It was the people who were there. And the food was simply a device around which we would gather. And it would help us build those relationships, cement them. You know, the importance of relationship is why memories so often pull us back to those experiences, those people, those places, those times. It's not just in our own histories that's the case. Archaeologists have found a cave near Tel Aviv, Israel, where they found a 300,000-year-old hearth. And there with it, they found a petrified round loaf of bread that's been scored in the baking to be divided and shared. From a time before written history, food played a central part in the story of humankind. And a meal shared together in Jesus' day had a particular connotation, a special meaning. The meal in Jesus' day was brought with it expectations. If a host were to offer you the hospitality of coming to his or her house, well, in those days it would be he who would invite it, because that's the way the culture was, his house, and you were to spurn the invitation, not only were you rejecting their hospitality, you were rejecting the person. If you were to accept such an invitation, a statement was being made by the host, I am opening my heart, my home, myself, my family up to you for a relationship. For you see, when we eat together, it's communal because I have to put my weapons down to eat. When I invite you into my home, it is in relationship because that is my last line of defense against anybody who would threaten me. Unless you inside that line, you have become a part in covenant. To say yes and to go to one's home at that time wouldn't be just to fill one's belly with food, but would also, or even just idle conversation that night, it would be establishing or deepening a relationship that would include both the acceptance but also the obligation in a covenant that we're bound together now, and if I need you, you'll be here for me, and if you need me, I'll be there for you. That is how important a meal was. What might they think if they saw the drive up at Portillo's or McDonald's? We get our meals faster and we go on our next way, but we lose so much in terms of community, don't we? But as we come here today, and we share in Holy Communion, which we do almost every first Sunday of the month. If you haven't seen that pattern, it's there. So you can sort of mark it on your calendar. Almost, although having said that now, Easter falls on the first Sunday of the month. We will not have communion on Easter Sunday. It'll be, you want communion, you'll come to Maundy Thursday service for that. But as we gather here together, we're invited by God into a communal experience. Jesus' whole ministry was surrounded by food. I think of the stories about Jesus and food. With 5 loaves and 2 fish, he fed over 5,000 people. He ate with unsavory characters as he ate and laughed and shared with tax collectors and other sinners. When he had called Matthew away from his tax business to be his disciple, they had a going away party and Jesus was there. He was at the home of Simon the leper. Now understand, that means that he knew Simon and he was a leper, and he's the one Simon no longer the leper. He healed him. He was at the home of Simon the leper for a meal, and a woman came in during the meal while they were eating, and they would eat with their feet sort of laid out behind them, and she wept and washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair out of her sheer gratitude and love for Jesus for his forgiveness of her sin. Again, a meal. A similar meal where Jesus was gathered with those in the whole celebration, and a woman comes in and breaks open a tremendously expensive vial of perfume and anoints his feet out of gratitude and love for him for his forgiveness. Another meal, that Last Supper, the Passover meal he shared with his community. When they gathered together and they did all the things that were part of the ritual, and when they were done with the meal, he took that last piece of loaf of bread and he broke it and he blessed it, and he took the cup and he blessed that and passed them around among the disciples, those who were there that night, and he said, take and eat and drink and remember. Not only the Passover miracle of God bringing them out of Egypt, but remember that I'm your new Passover. I'm the one who's bringing you out of slavery to sin. Remember me until I return. So as you come here this morning and share in this meal, you know, it's not much more than a loaf of bread we buy at Kroger's. Gets cut up into the pieces. Thank you, by the way, Karen, for cutting it up and your team. And Welch's grape juice, usually. We don't use cut-rate juice, do we? We go with Welch's all the way. Poured in those little cups. I haven't looked to see the nutritional value of those, that little servings, but how much more is it? Is Communion Sunday a day that you walk in, you see this up on the table, and you might say, oh, no. You know, I've known folks who have always wanted to know when communion is being served so they could avoid the day. And they said, well, it just takes so long. The crackers are always stale. We use bread, but it can be stale, too. It's so boring. I wait while they are served, or I have to sit down afterward and wait. Is that what you feel? Don't raise your hands. It may be. You aren't alone. Or is Communion Sunday a Sunday when you say, I don't want to miss it, but it's a chance for me to experience again the idea that I'm sitting down with, in my spirit, with Jesus Christ. In God's love, remembering what he did for me. As we come to communion, we come as separate people from separate places. Some of us slept all night last night, others of us didn't. Some of us are in a place in our lives when worry or anxiety over family members isn't an issue. Our kids have grown up and we don't know the stuff we should worry about. Before yet, we've gotten so old that we worry about our elderly parents, that sweet spot in the middle, you know, and you sleep all night long. We've come with other obligations at the end of this morning, and we'll go different places again. But for these few minutes, we're here together. We're drawn together for a purpose. We find ourselves in community because of one bread, one loaf of bread, and one cup. And as we break bread together, we become one in a way nothing else can do. Amen. I want to invite those who are going to help us serve communion this morning, come and just stand here at the front on the floor. We'll serve you down here. And Jared, if you would open the table for us. And as they're coming, I would say to you, as we talked about this, Holy Communion in the United Methodist Church is open communion. You need not be a member of this congregation or our denomination or even any church of any kind. Scripture says the only real requirement is that we seek to be in love and charity with our God and our neighbor. And so it is for all of us, those who have come near to perfection and those of us who are just sinners just crawling on our bellies and anywhere in between. So I invite you this morning to open your hearts as we pray, prepare ourselves for communion. Almighty God, we thank you for your love for us that has drawn us back to you as we've walked away. We thank you for your love for us that has paid a price to bring us home in Christ's sacrifice. We thank you for your love for us that makes us new. And as we come remembering all that. We come remembering what it is you call us to be. We come remembering we are a part of your family, a community together. And so we remember that night when Jesus was with the disciples that he took the bread at the end of the meal and he blessed it and broke it and passed it among them saying, take this and eat, remembering me. Same way that night he took the cup after supper and he blessed it and passed it among them saying, please drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Remember until I come again. Father, we come now. Praying you would bless these simple elements. You would open our hearts. We might have eyes to see, spiritual eyes to see you powerfully present as you knit us together as one, as we break bread together in your name. Amen.